Snowballs into something that's wanted.
Listening to Alan Fitzpatrick with the tune Something Wonderful from Machine Therapy. That's it for me for this show. I'm DJ Firefly. You've been listening to Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. If you missed the show or want to get in touch with me, Feel free to check out my website at djfirefly.com.
WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, rocks.
Just for you. Oh yeah. And in each room there's so much love that waits on you.
This house. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna mail it straight to you. I'm gonna bring back to your mind what you said about always being true, about our secret hiding places being daily satisfied. I can see you sitting and reading it while you hang your head and cry. I just hope you're not so sad that you're gonna go down suicide. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter, put it special delivery, 'cause it's gonna be full of stuff that's only known to you and me. About however time I get turned on, you turn me off and bring me down. It'll be about the darkest news that ever did arrive in your hometown. It'll be about the saddest thing your mailman ever did bring around. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna tell you one more time that you still could reconsider and come back to be in mine. And if you think about what I'm saying, it'd be hard to refuse. Just be sure you think a long time on the answer that you choose. It will be a most important piece, a personal private news. Tear-stained letter, mark it personal private news, and I hope you'll keep it to yourself and don't go around crying the blues, giving off a bad impression as to what went really wrong, when what it was that suddenly the music was all gone. And this man and woman got cut off in the middle of our song. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna put it to a tune. So I'll be sending with it a sweet melody for you, and not some red-hot upbeat zinger meant to set your body on fire, but a hunk of love included, meant to take you a little higher and to settle on your sweet, sweet mind at night when you retire. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter.
Well, but my heart won't stop hurting or feeling all alone. And maybe we'll trade places in some not so distant year. I'll hear your voice a calling down and not cover up my ears. 'Cause in my mind, the room beyond is bathed in golden light. Well, I dream about you through the day and I toss and turn at night. Sometimes it's hard to understand when they say that pride's a sin. Should I go or should I stay on the outside looking in?
The next time, my baby leave me. I got to find me a part-time lover. The people in the cemetery, they're not all alone. Some turn to dust and some have bone. I'd rather be dead, sleeping in my grave. I don't want to be lonely. Each and every day she came home this morning. I asked her where she'd been. She said, don't ask me no question, Daddy, because I'll be leaving again. That's why I'm gonna find me. I've got to find me a part-time love. The next time, my baby leave me. I've got to find me a part-time lover. Woman wants to leave me all alone. I've done the best that I could.
gave everything I thought she wanted. And then she walked on.
WRCT Pittsburgh, your oil revival station.
Molly Cooey, my love. Hey, Millie, Molly, Millie, me love. Moani, kilala o kapua, lingaki. Kui I te ka, kaiaka. Marona I ke a, wakea.
objeto sexual. Tienes trucos, son casi perfectos. No quiero ser objeto sexual. Me calientas, después te vas.
¿Quieres? ¿Por qué?
No.
Quizás. ¿Por qué?
No. A lo mejor.
Sí. No. No quiero ser objeto sexual. Tienes trucos, son casi perfectos. Quiero ser objeto sexual. No ocultes tus sentimientos.
¿Quieres?
No, 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 no.
Si quieres, ¿por qué?
No.
Quizás, ¿por qué?
No.
A lo mejor.
¿Quieres?
No, 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 no.
Si quieres, ¿por qué?
No.
Quizás, ¿por qué?
No.
A lo mejor.
WRCT Pittsburgh. We're always here for you.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is Ebony Spectrum and In Black America for this week.
There's concern about a racial wealth gap.
The racial wealth gap is stark.
The racial wealth gap is tremendous.
The gap between white and black America.
What is the racial wealth gap and why is everyone talking about it? The racial wealth gap is a measure of wealth inequality between racial groups in the U.S. Here's a prime example. Black families make up 14% of the population, but own only 5% of American wealth, while white households make up 65% of the population, but control 80% of the wealth. The gap traces back to the 1863 Emancipation Proclamation, which led to freedom for almost 4 million Black Americans. By 1860, their labor accounted for 60% of U.S. exports, $200 million a year, where Black Americans received nothing, no land, no money. Without any money or land, how could newly free Black Americans create wealth? One way could have been the banking system. Alexander Hamilton, the father of American banking, said that banking is how wealth is created. But Black Americans were overwhelmingly excluded from using banks. So what happens when a community is barred from the mainstream banking system? They create their own. Black banks are supposed to close the racial wealth gap. So what happened? For almost 200 years, there have been three unique barriers that have kept Black America from generating the wealth the Black community intended: discriminatory lending, housing discrimination, and economic segregation. First, let's talk about discriminatory lending. Following the Civil War in the late 1800s, Black Americans had few freedoms or financial options due to legal segregation and Black codes. Black codes were laws that restricted the freedom and movement of Black people and forced them to work for low wages. If you were Black, a white bank would either bar you from entering, deny your loan, or charge you higher interest rates. These were common practices of discriminatory lending, and it created a need for financial services that Black-owned banks would aim to provide.
Black communities found ways to create mutual aid opportunities, credit unions, and cooperative efforts to make sure that as they were locked out from mainstream financial institutions, they had the systems in place to make sure that their financial needs were met.
In 1890, one of the earliest Black banks was operating in especially hostile territory, the Jim Crow South. Alabama's first Black-owned and Black-operated bank, the Alabama Penny Savings Bank, was founded by Reverend William Pettiford. Influenced by Booker T. Washington's principles of self-help and racial solidarity, the Alabama Penny Savings Bank lent money to churches and professionals in Birmingham when other banks wouldn't. And it did this during a time when the Alabama legislature was doing everything in its power to deny Black political and economic freedom. Pettiford partnered with powerful white bankers in Birmingham who helped with administrative and staff training. These partnerships were like cheat codes during a time when segregation laws made Black and white relations very difficult. In 1913, the Penny Savings Bank constructed a five-story building that housed not only the bank, but dozens of other Black businesses. The rent from those businesses provided funding and investment capital, something Black banks serving poor communities struggled to get. The Alabama Penny Savings Bank faced financial risks unique to Black banks. A lack of capital or money to invest put Black banks in a risky position. Not only did segregation laws shrink the number of potential customers, low-income customers made smaller deposits and more withdrawals. This meant, one, operation costs were higher, so Black bank owners invested more of their own money to keep the bank stable. And two, it restricted their revenue and lending capacity. Fewer loans meant smaller profits. Pettiford's partnerships with larger banks meant he had aid during difficult times, and the bank grew significantly under his guidance. Assets reached over $540,000 by 1913, equivalent to approximately $17.1 million today. By 1914, the Alabama Penny Savings Bank was the largest and strongest black bank in the United States. But no one could be convinced to help the bank.